We didn't understand the value of making sure that we parented our biological kids and not step over into trying to be a disciplinarian of our stepkids until relationships were in place. And that can really hinder relationship building.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com.
This is Family Life Today.
Does doing the same thing in the same way reveal that you are insane or make you insane?
I don't know, but just trying to figure out what you just said is making me insane. That's all I know.
Is Ron with us today?
Yes, I'm excited. We're going to hear from
Ron. Actually, we're going to listen to a podcast that he does, and he'll be with us at the end of it.
So what we're hearing today is a portion of his conversation that he had with Gayla Grace, and it's Family Life Blended Podcast number 102, Working Smarter, Not Harder.
That's what I want to do.
We all need that. So Gayla is a step family author. She's a speaker who works with Ron and the Family Life Blended team. She also hosts a monthly live stream for women. This is kind of cool, in the blended families that Ron just raves about. I need to listen to that. That sounds pretty great.
Yeah, and just in case you're thinking, well, I'm not in a blended family, I don't need to listen. Yeah, you do. Listen on behalf of a friend, a family member. You might even tell your pastor about this podcast. And also, coming up, our annual Blended and Blessed live stream conference that churches can host for couples in their community. The next one is April 27th. You can go to blendedandblessed.com. We'll also put a link in our show notes, and you can learn how you can attend this conference. You don't have to be there in person. You can attend it anywhere in the world. All right, let's set up the conversation for you. Gayla and Ron are talking about some themes from his best-selling book, The Smart Step Family. Did you know this came out in 2002?
No.
That thing's been around for a while, and they expanded it in 2014, so it's nearly 25 years old. And it's still the most comprehensive resource for Christian step families.
It's just one of the best books. And one of the things that Ron talks about in that book is learning to work smarter in a step family, not harder. So let's jump into the conversation.
So, getting smarter, not necessarily working harder, working smarter instead of working harder. What's wrapped up in that for you? Not just about step families, but just in general, what's the difference between working smarter and working harder?
Well, to me, working harder is just having to put in so many hours and really investing in a way that at the end of it, you're exhausted and you can't keep going. Whereas smarter means that you make progress maybe with less effort, maybe in less time, and you can begin to see how your efforts have paid off easier, quicker.
Yeah. I think intentionality.
Yes.
And that's the heart of what Family Life Blended is about, is we're helping people be intentional about the relationships that matter most.
Right.
And we're trying to give them some ideas and some direction, some informed, wise direction about how to work smarter at their family so that they make more progress. Gayla, I find it fascinating through the years. I think some people will spend more time buying a smartphone than thinking about their marriage or their parenting strategies. Or do you think that's true, or is that?
No, I think it is true. I think that it's too easy to feel like, oh, things are just going to fall in place. I love the Lord. I love my family. And we just don't have to work at this that hard. But for blended families, that is not true.
Yeah. I just think all relationships, everything requires something. You know, it's funny. We'll go to school, spend years investing in a career. And rarely will we spend time to read a book or listen to a podcast or go to a seminar or something that will invest in one of the most important things in our lives, and that's, you know, our core family relationships. Mm-hmm. And so essentially what we want to do is, and I start the book talking about just how important that is for step families. And it can't just be any sort of education. It's got to be step family specific.
Exactly.
Education.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that's what's really going to cue you in on your family and your journey. And that's what we wanted to.
And there's a difference. There's a huge difference in navigating a step family as opposed to navigating a biological family.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're always aware of, is how to explain those differences.
So let's be clear to the listener. We're not suggesting that working smarter eliminates all the problems or struggles or just automatically makes everybody love each other and everything's going to be fine. I mean, there's still a journey to be had, but you're going to be more strategic.
Mm-hmm.
Again, more intentional about how you bring your family together and how you move it through time.
Well, the reality is there are some things that we can do that sabotage relationships in step families. We may not even realize the danger of doing this. And I'll just give an example,
yeah,
Ron, to begin to talk about in our early blended family life where, you know, we've been blended 27 years now. So I think back years ago when Randy and I each brought two kids to the marriage, and we didn't understand the value of making sure that we parented our biological kids and not step over into trying to be a disciplinarian of our stepkids until relationships were in place. And that can really hinder relationship building. If a step parent goes too far in the beginning of trying to discipline their stepchild and the relationship's not in place, and it's going to slow down the relationship.
You know, okay, so let's take that a step further. Working harder is what most of us do. I've certainly been guilty of that in my life in certain aspects. When I'm convinced this is the best way, the right way, it should go well, but it's not. So therefore, I just need to press a little more, work harder at this same strategy. It's a little bit like that old thing, what's the definition of insanity? Everybody knows it. It's working, you know, in the same way and expecting a different result.
Right.
And by the way, working in the same way, that's on us. That's the part where you're working harder and just sure you're finally going to get it to work the way you think it should. So in this case, a step parent who says, yeah, but your kid really needs correcting. I'm really going to help your child. I'm going to help them. They're going to thank me one day. So I'm going to get this kid to get up and get out of bed on time and be responsible. And so there's the agenda. And you work hard and harder at that, and not realizing that the same strategy is just, it's the same wall you keep hitting your head against.
Right. And then what else happens as the step parent steps in and becomes a stricter parent? The biological parent steps back because they're reacting. They start worrying about how the step parent's parenting, how that's affecting their child. And so then they start thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to become more lenient because you're so strict. And that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Now they're both reacting off of one another rather than being proactive as parents together.
Right.
Pushing each other in the wrong directions.
Right.
Yeah. And that's all flowing out of, but if I just do it again, it'll finally come. No, that's working harder. Working smarter says you pull back and you go, I need to look at me. I need to look at the playing field and what's going on. Maybe there's a different set of rules here, and which we often find in blended families. There's a different dynamic to the same types of relationships. Well, this is parent-child. It should be the same. I should be able to correct my stepchild the way I correct my biological children. Well, there's some other factors at play. So let's approach this from a different standpoint, not the same. And so all of a sudden, now there's new options that are available to that parent and that step-parent. Step-parent can be the one who focuses on, as you said, relationship building, letting the biological parent take the lead. Now, this is just one example, this whole parent-step-parent thing. Just one example of really, I mean, a thousand or more that are unique dynamics that are distinctives that if you don't get smart about them, they can really cause some difficulty.
They can. and they can slow down relationship building, which is not what we want.
In the book, I tell a story about a woman I will never forget, sitting talking with this woman and her husband, and her just sort of sitting back, her eyes go bright, wide, and she has this realization, this aha. And she turns to her husband and she makes a statement. Let me set it up. He had three teenage girls and she had married in as a never been married before, no children of her own. And she has this aha. She looks at her husband and she says, I got it. I live in a step family, but you don't. Now, you know, the reality is, yes, they both technically lived in a step, but to her husband, these are just his daughters. Nothing's changed. I have a relationship with them. And then I have a relationship with my wife. There's no step family here. To him, it's as if.
Right.
But to stepmom, mm-hmm. it's I'm an outsider. The girls don't know what to do with me. Some of them are nice to me sometimes, and sometimes they're mean to me. and she has this constant experience of feeling like she doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. And so for her to go, oh, that's it. I sort of have a totally different experience of this family than you do, was a moment where we could say, yes, and now how do we work with that? Rather than, husband, you got to be just like her. No, he can't be just like the step-parent.
No, right.
He's the biological dad. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. And stepmom, given that reality, how does this change how you think about your role within the family? Let's start working smarter instead of harder. It's just one aha after another, often are great turning points. I mean, don't you find that when you're talking or coaching with mm-hmm. couples, they get that one thing that just turns the key.
Right.
You're listening to Family Life Today, and we're listening to a portion of the Family Life Blended podcast with Ron Deal and Gayla Grace. You know what I love about Ron and his ministry is the practicality, honestly, like of just like, oh, how do we do this? What's it look like?
I thought you were going to say, you are just like the husband he described in that step family. Because I seem to live like in another plane and all this stuff's going on. I'm like, oh, we're all good, right? And you're like, no, look at what's happening in our kitchen, in our family room, in our life. And I think that story is so true, is that I don't often have a connection to what's really going on, which is why listening to this podcast is so important. I'll tell you this. It's also why Blended and Blessed coming up April 27th is something you should sign up for. Because if you're anything like me or married to somebody like me, this opens your eyes. And you can sign up at blendedandblessed.com. And I hope you do. And even if you're not in a blended family, I hope you do for somebody that you know that this will be helpful for.
Oh, that's good. Okay, let's hear more from Ron and Gayla's conversation.
I think sometimes, especially biological parents, they have this tension between their kids and their spouse.
Hmm.
And so they feel like it has to be one or the other. Well, I'm going to lean heavily on the side of my kids. What they may not know is they're really kind of feeling sorry for them because they've walked through the death of a parent or a divorce. And so they compromise some of the relationship with their spouse because of, I just feel guilty about what my kids have been through. And so they feel like they have to lean on one side or the other. And it's not one or the other. It's both. You have to still nurture the marriage because that's the foundation. And without the marriage, then it's going to all crumble.
Right.
And yet, yes, your kids have been through some horrific things probably. And how do you balance that of really helping them understand and grow, but still hold them accountable in everyday life?
I got another one I think people work harder at, and that is, I'm going to make you love me whether you want to or not.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that always backfires.
I mean, and again, people come by this honestly because that's the whole point. You got married because you wanted to have a family, a loving environment for you, for your kids. It makes all the sense in the world. There's nothing wrong with the dream. But just recognize that, you know, the journey to the dream coming true is an individual journey for every person. And they decide who they love and how much they trust you, how much they let you into their heart and life.
Right.
And you're going to try to be loving toward them and prayerful that they become open and loving toward you, but you can't force or demand love. And the minute you start trying to do that, it feels like a, I want to use the word violation. That might be a heavy word, but it feels like you just stepped inside my skin. You just began to demand something of my heart that you don't have the right to demand of me. And so quit pushing. And by the way, this can come from, you know, not just parents to stepchildren, but biological parents are working often so hard at the both and. It's either my kids or my spouse. So they want to resolve that by getting the step people to like each other, love each other.
Yes.
And so my mom is coaching her kids all the time about how great stepdad is.
Right.
And she's talking up her kids to her husband. And she's just saying, oh, you know, don't worry about that thing. You know, she's downplaying stuff that maybe irritates her husband because she wants him to love them, not to be irritated with them. And so it's control, control, control. At the end of the day, that's what it is.
Right.
And that's a brick wall. Mm-hmm. Like you keep hitting your head and you're, it's worse than that. You don't, you get hurt if you hit your head against a wall, but so do other people. They get wrapped into the pain that you're causing to the family.
Yeah. And the other thing that I might add is, especially if you're dealing with teenagers, you cannot force teenagers to do anything.
To do anything. Amen. Right, right.
And so especially if you are a step parent trying to force that teenager to be your best friend, it's just not going to happen. Mm. And sometimes you just have to sit back and accept, this is where we're at today. This is where our relationship is at today. And I'm going to be content with that. Mm. I'm going to continue to do my part to grow this relationship, but I'm not going to beat my head up against a brick wall. And I'm not going to take everything personally that this stepchild does. Sometimes it has nothing to do with us and it has everything to do with them.
What makes people work harder? Take that approach. You know, I got a couple of thoughts. One of them is difficulty from the past, pain, heartache. If you've already been through hard, you don't want more hard. Of course you don't. And so you're just trying to make it work. In particular, if you went through a divorce, which some people use the word failure when they're talking about that previous marriage. I don't, you know, that's a word that sort of different people agree with or don't agree with. But even if you think of it that way, you don't want another failure, all right? So you work hard to make people love.
But you know what I also think about is, do we turn our trust away from God and trust only in ourselves? So we are going to work so hard to make this happen because I might pray about it, but I don't really trust that God's going to do it the way I want. And so then it all comes back on us. Well, then I'm just going to keep working harder and harder. When sometimes we just got to turn it over and allow God to work in His own timing that's going to be different than ours.
I want to encourage the listener, take what she just said, that God's not going to do it in the way that I want. And what you want is often driven by what you think you need. And that's often driven by this desire to not experience more difficulty or pain. Right? So ask yourself about that. What is going on with me? Why am I so insistent that these kids receive my correction as a step-parent? Why am I so insistent that this kid loves me and loves me today rather than tomorrow? What's going on there? What's my need that's within this push that I keep offering? I don't know what that is, but it's important that you at least ask the question so you can discover what that is and wonder out loud with yourself, maybe even, you know, with your spouse, talk it out loud. What do I do with this?
Where's that coming from?
And is there a better way to accomplish this? You know, sometimes I've had people just sort of stare at me sometimes when they hear the whole how do you cook a step family thing. Because at the end of the day, what that means is I have to be patient. I can't get this kid to love me sooner rather than later. I have to be patient and wait on later. And I don't want to be patient. Well, okay, there's a stubbornness there. There's a little desperation in, built into that. What's that from? What's going on there? Know what that is so that it doesn't take you by surprise. We had somebody write into us recently who reminded me of this very thing, Gayla, and I was so appreciative that she took the time to write in. And she said, you know, sometimes we talk about fear and pain. It's a leftover from a first divorce. But she said, sometimes it's also a part of the first marriage. Like there was a reason that that came to an end. And there might have been some real abuse or neglect or trauma. And that that stays with somebody. Mm-hmm. It stays on their heart. And you don't want more of that for your kids or for yourself. And so you find yourself working really hard to make everybody do what you want them to do. Mm-hmm. And it's just not necessarily a helpful process.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about something that was in a section of the book. Just wondering how you feel about this. Feeling lost in the wilderness is par for the course. You think that's generally true for blended family couples in particular, that once they get married, the journey begins and that they sort of wake up and go, I'm feeling a little lost in
this journey. Absolutely. And it's a scary place to be.
Huh.
But I think it is so normal. And sometimes step couples don't realize it's normal. And so then they think they're doing something wrong. But yeah, you're in a role, you know, we talk a lot about ambiguity in step-parent roles or even the biological parent at times. And so you're just lost, and lost in the wilderness is just a scary place to be.
And I want to just quickly jump in and say, hey, I think most of us are lost. I think most of life we're walking, am I living God's will? Am I doing what I should be doing?
Right.
Is this where I need to be, you know, in my life, in my relationships, in my work, in my whatever? That's a normal thing. Any parent who's raising any child, your own or somebody else's, my goodness, you feel lost most of the time. It is a hard journey. And yet, we love our children and we love certain moments about it, but then there's other things that we just feel lost.
Right.
So this is not criticism to say the blended family journey is often filled with people who find themselves feeling lost and that that's par for the course. That's not criticism. That's just, hey, it's kind of a different journey and no one really gave you a map.
Right.
In effect, that's what we're trying to do is give people a map to help them navigate. But it's okay if you feel lost. Just look for some answers.
Yeah, and if you get off the trail, find a way to get back on. You know, Ron, Randy and I were just at the Grand Canyon, and there are times that we got off the trail a little bit. And then we had to think, okay, wait a minute, we can't stay off the trail because there's bad things that happen. And so we would find our way back on. And I think that's what we are trying to do, is help step families find their way back onto the trail when they get off.
Yeah.
Well, we've been listening to a portion of the Family Life Blended podcast with Ron Deal and Gayla Grace. And guess what? Ron is now joining us in the studio. Welcome, Ron.
Hey, it's always good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Ron, thanks for this conversation. I have a question. So did this theme of working smarter prompt the title of this book in your step family series?
You know, the answer is yes and no. my original title for the book was terrible, and the publisher didn't like it.
What was it?
And I can't even remember what it was. That's how bad it was. But they sort of read this little portion, and they said, working smarter. Huh, that's exactly what we want. That's what you're giving people, is they're learning how to be a smart step family. And the next thing you know, we're like, wait a minute. I think that's the title. And so The Smart Step Family became the title of this book, but then became the smart got worked into most of the titles of my other eight books for blended families. And so it ended up becoming a thing. And it really wasn't even my idea, which means most good ideas are not my idea.
I don't think that's true.
But that is what we're trying to do, is help people, you know, just have more intentionality. And by the way, that last little bit where we were talking about, we all find ourselves in life not knowing what to do next. We're wandering in some wilderness as a parent or as a couple or as a coworker or, you know, in faith with God. Like, I think we can all relate to that.
Yes, for sure.
And so we're just trying to pick up another piece of intelligence, maybe is the way to say it. Get a little smarter as we go. And sometimes we learn from our mistakes. Sometimes we learn from other people's mistakes. Mm. We get back on the path, trust God, and we keep going.
Yeah, and I think what you said earlier, you and Gayla, you know, we ask God for wisdom, and James 1.
That's right.
Literally tells us if we want wisdom, ask God who gives generously. Mm-hmm. I often think we struggle because we don't ask. We just keep trying a different path and we get frustrated or stop altogether. And I think God's literally saying, would you just invite me in?
Yes.
I can really help if you'll ask.
That's good.
And in contrast to that is the working harder aspect. Yeah. Guys, I've been thinking about this in my own life. You know, the more desperate I am around any given subject matter, right? Desperate for one of my kids, desperate for something to happen in life that I really want to see happen, desperate for something to go differently in my marriage because I feel like this is a really important thing. The more desperate I am, the more controlling I get.
Mm.
Because I'm trying to get the outcome to be what I want it to be. And the more controlling we get, I think the more we shoot ourselves in the foot. And so there's this big paradox in trying to make things happen. That's the working harder mentality versus, no, God, I need that wisdom. Help me see it for what it is, not what I think it is. Help me have the goal I should have here, not the goal that I want. That's wisdom. And then getting some practical how-tos to help us move in that direction. I mean, that's all what the Christian journey, I think, is really all about.
It's such a paradox, isn't it? Because when you were saying that, Ron, I thought, we really do this in our marriages. We do this in our blended families. I'm not getting the outcome from my spouse I want or my children I want. So what do? I get more controlling.
That's what I do.
And it does the opposite. It gets them even more pushing against what I want when we should let go and say, okay, God, I can't get the outcome I want. I've sort of got to lift them and myself to you and say, I'm going to trust you like never before.
You know, every year we do our live stream, Blended and Blessed. It's coming up Saturday, April 27th. It's a live stream. You can sign up 1 minute before and join us for this thing from anywhere in the world. We do have churches that are hosting it. We have a map where people can search and find a church in their area and go and be a part of that if you want to. Gayla Grace, who I was just talking with in that podcast, she's going to be one of our speakers. Gil and Brenda Stewart, who have been with us many times before, they're awesome. And Cheryl Shoemake, who's one of my new favorite persons talking about Step Family, she's going to join us again this year for Blended and Blessed. Nan and I are going to be there. Worship, lots of little blended bits, little practical tips and tools for doing life. It's a great day. We hope people will join us.
Hey, Ron, this has been so good. It's always great to be with you. Thanks for everything.
Yeah, thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
I'm Shelby Abbott. You've been listening to Ron Deal with Dave and Ann Wilson on Family Life Today. Yeah, just as Ron said, this event is really important. If you're a blended family or if you know blended families, we really encourage you to check out the Blended Blessed one-day marriage event live stream. You can go to the show notes at familylifetoday.com to learn more. Ron was, he's always a great guest to have, isn't he? He's just incredible. He has great conversations with people. And Ron has written a book called The Smart Step Family. This book provides practical, realistic solutions to the issues you face as a stepfamily or the issues that a blended family you know might be facing. So you can get your copy by going online right now to familylifetoday.com, or you can find a link in the show notes. Or you can give us a call at 800-358-6329. Again, that number is 800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, tomorrow, how do you have, like for real, how do you have hope in the midst of suffering? Like real, for real suffering that you're going through, whether it be emotional, spiritual, or physical. Well, tomorrow, my friend Vanitha Reiser is going to be with her husband Joel to talk about hope in the midst of suffering. And Vanitha is a sufferer who loves Jesus. She'll be joining Dave and Ann Wilson tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of them, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.